We're looking at easily the most overrated player in this draft.
It's so easy.
That's unreal.
I would never draft him. That's the bottom line.
I mean,
that's a hard no for me.
This is an autopilot first round pick.
He is definitely on my do not draft list. We get it. We get it.
Yeah,
Let's move on. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Hockey Talkie. And I say back because we have been away for a little bit. What has happened, Jesse?
We've had some not really technical issues, I would say.
More like inconvenience, some minor inconvenience.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's been summer, which is, you know, whatever.
Right.
But
so we've taken a little bit off. It's summer. Things aren't going crazy with hockey aside from the trades and the signings, which we're going to get to today. So be ready for that. What happened was we did recording in my basement, and my basement flooded. We had a giant hailstorm. There was water about 2 feet up on some of the walls. All the drywall had to come out, all the carpet, everything. It's been a mess, but the studio is set up again, and we're ready to jump back into hockey.
Yeah, it's been a sweet month. Well, August has been pretty slow, but July was obviously great. So we got lots and lots and lots of stuff to talk about for free agent-wise, fantasy implications, all that good stuff. So yeah, definitely hit us up at NHL, or what is it? NHL Fantasy Talk? Or Fantasy
yep.
NHL Talk? Man, I totally forgot. It's been so long.
I know. Maybe we should get that right so that you can get us on Twitter. At Fantasy NHL Talk.
Okay, cool. Yeah, send us your questions. Of course, what do you got? Your ideas on what you think these guys are going to do. Let us know if you think Lucic is going to get 40 goals or four. We're all super excited. that kind of stuff. So definitely let us know.
Yeah, and we actually got another thing set up. Had some time to talk to people on Twitter. And if you guys haven't checked out OvertimeHeroics.com, it is a massive website that does all sorts of fantasy, like baseball, football, hockey. I even saw that there was wrestling in there today.
That's
they were talking about like SummerSlam and stuff. So if you like anything or want to check out blog posts on that stuff and want to talk to people about fantasy, all the other sports, check out that. We're partnering up with them. We're going to be tweeting out lots of their articles and see where that goes. I'm excited.
Yeah, no, that should be good. I'm definitely looking forward to partnering with people, more exposure, all that kind of good stuff. We got some, I think we're going to do some drafts with some other guys, maybe do some guest spots on other podcasts. So, yeah, definitely lots of stuff for us to do this year.
It's going to be an exciting year and full of fantasy. Even the guys I was telling you before the podcast, even the guys on the football podcast and stuff are asking other people to come on their shows and do drafts with them and stuff. So there's going to be a lot of content. We're going to be bouncing all over the place. Then next year, we'll just be in the NHL.com. And then you'll check us out there because we'll be growing so quick.
Right? That does feel like the natural progression. So that feels good.
Yeah, straight up the ladder, right to the big wigs. Okay, let's get into it. We got tons of free agency. And we're going to start at the like June 1st. So when free agency opened up, some trades were already kind of what do they do before the trades? They like agreed on a trade before it actually was the first?
Yeah, I think you can like do like it's called like a handshake or something, a handshake agreement. So like yeah, I'm going to go to your team, but I obviously got to, you know, wait for the week or something, so
yeah,
lots of that stuff.
So we're going to start out June 1st when the players like got signed and kind of go from there. The first, not a huge day, but the third had a very interesting deal. Someone that I'm really excited about. Kevin Hayes went to the Flyers for a fifth round pick. So basically nothing. Obviously,
yeah,
he wasn't going to sign with Winnipeg anymore.
Yeah, they sent his rights away for the fifth. Later on in the month, he does eventually sign. Do you want to just talk about him now or just wait for him to sign? Or what should we do?
Yeah, let's talk about him now.
Okay. So Kevin Hayes, obviously, I think he got paid a lot, which is an issue with some people, myself included. I think he got $7 million, which was pretty high for that guy. The good news is that there's great fantasy implications. He's definitely going to be like a second-line center for the Flyers.
Yep. Voracek and Van Riemsdyk on his wings.
Yeah, so he has a great line. Nothing wrong with that. He should get some power play time, of course. The bad news is for people who are into like Patrick and stuff, he's going to stay as a third line center and sort of just rot there for now. But beyond that, I think he's going to have a pretty good year. I don't know if I'm going to end up drafting this guy, to be honest, but I'd say maybe 60 points, maybe 30 goals, 30 assists. That's kind of my guess. I don't think he's going to like blow it up because I don't really, you know, love the Flyers as a team. And I don't know if he'll crack that first power play unit, but if he does, then he definitely can get more points. But it's a good signing. They needed a centerman, so this helps, I guess.
So far, he's not on the first power play unit because they put JVR up there. Remember, kind of, he was kind of an experiment last year.
Yeah, I didn't think they'd put him up there yet. That makes sense.
They didn't really know where JVR was going to fit, but now he started getting some traction on the first unit. Can you think of a better place for Kevin Hayes to go though than Philly?
No, it's pretty good. I mean, he's a giant 6 foot whatever, five guy or something. So it's a great place.
He's huge. He's a physical center. That's what they want. That's the Legion of Doom. I guess, or whatever. Right? They love guys like that. That's a perfect pickup for them.
Yeah.
60 points. I'm on board with what you're saying there.
Yeah. I don't see anything more than 60 points. I think he'll get lots of hits, lots of shots. So definitely a good guy for peripheral league. I think it's, like I said, it's a good sign. They just paid a little too much money, but I mean, whatever, it's the cap era. He probably could have got paid $1 million less, but I mean, that's the free agent tax you pay on these guys. So
that's where it's going. If you want a big center like that, you got to pay up. It seems like.
Yeah, pretty much. And
like
the Flyers,
that Stone signing, right?
Yeah, exactly. Right. So
it's the same kind of deal. I like him. Not going to reach for him. Late ninth round. I'll look at Kevin Hayes though. I like Philly's chance to like score. They're statistically a really high scoring team. They just don't have any defense.
Yeah, they're not going to win a lot of games. Maybe Kevin Hayes helps that a little bit. I think it's good for Patrick. I know I was saying that he got sent down to the third, but this gives him super soft assignments, so he'll have a good year. I think anytime you can sign a centerman that can cover the top six helps the rest of the team. So
for sure.
Yeah, hopefully it works out for him, but I just don't think the fantasy numbers are going to be there. So, but I mean, you weren't drafting Kevin Hayes for the fantasy numbers anyway. So,
right.
He's definitely just a good, like, plug and play kind of guy. So, but
yeah, I would say ceiling 75 would be like really high.
Yeah, that'd be like everything goes right. He scores on 5-on-5 all the time. Yeah. So,
all right.
My guess is, high 50s. Low 60s is my guess, so but we'll see how he clicks.
Well, you're so mean to Kevin.
If he's not on that first power play unit, I just don't see where he's getting points. That's just the thing. Like the second unit,
Philly's MO is their power play.
Yeah, it's just you get the Drew whatever Voracek assists kind of thing.
Is on that top one with Ghost Bear.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's a really strong power play unit. It's just the second one dies off, obviously, and then 5-on-5 points are hard to go by, but he does have a strong line, so we'll definitely see how it goes. But like I said, yeah, that's my guess. Low 60s, high 50s. Nothing to write home about.
Yeah, that's probably right. On the 7th, Skinner signed an 8-year, $72 million.
Yes. This is great for Buffalo. Obviously, Skinner got 40 goals last year, which is insane, career high for him. He has crazy chemistry with Eichel and all those other guys, so
Love it.
Yeah, I love it. I think it's great. I think he can keep moving up. The team's getting stronger year by year. We get another year of down to grow.
This is going to make like his draft stock skyrocket, and I'm afraid of that. Because I'm not gonna pick him in like the fourth or third round or anything like that, but I think he's going to jump up there.
Yeah, I drafted him super late last year, and
like the 10th round or something.
Yeah, something really late. And so, but for sure, he's going to be on people's radars. I mean, 40 goal seasons are insane, so he's definitely going to pop it up. His health seems to be good, which is the biggest thing with Skinner. So, I like him. I'm a huge Skinner fan. I love him as a player. So, I'm going to try to get him again this year. I'll see what I can do, but it's definitely not going to be like a stealth pick by any means anymore.
Right. Yeah, everyone's going to know.
Yeah, it's going to be kind of, you're definitely going to have to be like, okay, I really do. If I want Skinner, I'm going to have to pick him like at the fourth or the third round or something. I'm going to have to make it like.
Is that what you would reach for Skinner in the fourth or the third? That's crazy, man.
I don't know. That's a 40 goal scorer in like the 40th player range. I think that's okay. I don't hate it. But
I mean, if you want a guy, that might be what you have to do with Skinner, though.
I think that's what you're going to have to do, unfortunately. Yeah, exactly. It does kind of suck because used to getting guys at discount, and he definitely pops up now. So, but I mean, with that kind of money, he's going to be playing with Eichel, and Eichel is godly. So as long as they keep them together, sky's the limit for that guy. So,
And first power play unit, they got Dahlin on the back end with Eichel there. I mean, they're going to be scoring some goals. My only concern is if Eichel has an injury or something, Skinner's value plummets.
Oh, yeah. He's 100% reliant on, obviously, Eichel making space and doing everything for him. You don't score 40
doing goals. Everything for him except for putting it in the net?
No, it's like the Nylander. It's like, or not Nylander, sorry, Marner. Like, Marner just gave Tavares 50 goals. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Have 50 tap-ins because I make all this space and do all this work. It's the same thing. Eichel makes space and does all the work for Skinner, and you got these guys that just can take advantage and score. So, of course, Eichel's health is definitely something to keep an eye on because they are very, very intertwined for sure.
Yeah, that'll be something to watch. A couple days go by on the month. I'm just looking through the calendar right now to see the good ones to talk about. Dion Phaneuf got bought out by the Kings.
Yeah, he's done. He still hasn't signed anywhere yet, so.
I wonder if he will.
I mean, he's like a seventh defenseman. You pay him $1 million kind of thing. You hope for the best.
I guess you just pay him to give the work ethic for the young guys.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he gets signed, personally. He might just be retiring after this.
Yeah. Another one I saw was the Islanders signed Eberle. So they gave him a 5-year, $27 million. So they gave him $5 million a year. So he's staying there.
That's a good amazing sign of confidence for him.
Yeah, it's a pretty cheap contract, so that's good. He obviously showed a lot of life in the playoffs. He had a lot of points, did pretty well. So he could definitely have a pretty good fantasy year next year. I'm not really sure who his usual center was. I don't know if he was with Barzal or not, or if he had a different center. So,
let me check that for you.
I didn't really watch a lot of Islanders games, but obviously if he's with Barzal, then his value is very high.
He plays right wing with Barzal and Anders Lee on the left.
Okay, that's a pretty decent line. I think he's definitely worth drafting. Someone to keep an eye out for in the mid to late because you can definitely snag him. And I think he'll be poised for a way bigger year. I think he might even crack 70 points. So he's definitely a guy I'm looking at to see if I can draft late just based on what I saw from him last year and the line assignments for sure.
Yeah, this is someone that his value will kind of stay like as a fifth rounder or a sixth rounder, but could return like a third rounder type of year.
Yeah, exactly. He's definitely a guy that's like a low risk, high reward kind of thing.
So. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Big fan of that.
Yeah, I don't mind Eberle too. I just have to pick him at the right spot. You don't want to.
Yeah, you don't want to be punished. You want to be rewarded kind of thing. You don't want to, like, if you can get him, like I said, late and it works out, sweet, but don't take him like, you know, expecting to get 70 points because there's a very real reality. He just goes back to 50 points again. So you never know.
Yeah, exactly. Erik Karlsson locked in at San Jose, 8-year for $92 million. I can't even imagine what I would do with that money.
Yeah, he got paid. Obviously, this led to other casualties, which we will get to later, Pavelski being the main one. Yep. So The Sharks believe that Burns and Carlson is the future, and they're going to lock into their young guys, which I actually think is the right idea. It just sucks losing Pavelski, who had basically 40 goals and is a leader of the team. So that was a tough thing. But a lot of people give Carlson a lot of grief last year for his season, but he was still basically a point per game player on like this super injured groin, just dying. So I think he's going to bounce back. As long as he's healthy, he's going to get 80, 82 points. So of course he's still a top three defenseman you're going to draft. So he might fall for some people. That's the thing. So don't not take him. That's my only advice for people is
Here's my question. Remember at the beginning of last year, we were talking about Burns and Carlson and how they were going to be able to like carve out their own 80 point seasons for each guy. So Burns got there 83. What was Carlson at? Oh, he's on the next page.
I think it was like 50 points and 45. I don't know, something like that. I don't know it offhand. You have to tell me.
Yeah, I'm having trouble finding it here. But so do we think that they're going to be able to do that again? Like carve out a significant chunk? If Carlson stays healthy for 82, are they both going to get 80 points? Is this really what San Jose is trying to do?
Yeah, I think I think it's going to happen for sure. I absolutely believe it.
So if they're both going at the back of the first round, like you're in a 10-team league, 9 and 10, is that something that we're going to be seeing in drafts this year? We're going to see a Burns and then a Carlson off the board back-to-back?
I think so. I think they're going to be very close.
That could happen.
I would have no problem drafting those guys at the end of the first round. Either one's going to do it. Burns is a little bit better because he shoots more, so he's definitely the one you should draft before.
Yeah.
And then
what if you're on the turn? What if you're on the turn of the snake and you get 10 and 11th pick and you go Burns, Carlson?
I mean, if your league really rewards defense, you could do it. I still think you have to take an elite forward there and at least have something to show for. Having two defenders is great and all, but I mean, that would be bold. I would love it, but I would
say,
yeah, I would be hard pressed to open up a draft with defense. That seems like not the greatest idea. So,
but if they're both going to get 80 points, I mean, that's safe.
It's true. But I would just rather go with like Patrick Kane and then Burns and feel way better or something like that.
Right. So, yeah. Exactly.
But yeah, I think they're, like I said, Carlson's health is the main issue. So obviously you draft Burns before. But I love the Sharks, man. Their team is so young and so good. All those forwards are so good. So they're going to get tons and tons of points again. They score lots. So I like them going forward. So I'm a big fan.
Yeah, I think Martin Jones figured it out a little bit this year. He had a rough year, but still managed to come out as like a top five goalie. So I really like him figuring it out for next year.
Yeah, they're still going to win tons of games. We'll have to see what the Pavelski void does for the team. Basically now their centers, it's all on the Couture shoulders. It's all on Hurdles and stuff like that. So
and we'll Couture stepped up.
Yeah. Like I love those guys for next year, just because now they have, it's their time. Like the management is basically what it is. I mean, that's what it is. Like Thornton's not taking over number one center duties. This like Couture, you're now the face of the team, dude. Like, it's right. All you.
Yeah.
You're getting 21 minutes a game, so it's gonna be exciting. I really want him this year.
I'm gonna log that away in my diary because you hate Couture.
I did, but now I have to like him by default. He's the number one center. He's absolutely like, it's the most plum assignment there is. So I'm super excited for him this year. And I think he's finally going to crack the 80 points. So I'm excited for him.
Okay, before we keep going here, small one that I want to throw in here is Anthony Duclair. Signed a 1 year with Ottawa. He's kind of bounced around a little bit, and I'm still holding out for him. Do you think anything of that, Jesse, or nothing?
He's a supremely talented guy. So the Sanders have no one. So, I mean, I'm sure he'll get top line with, like, Tkachuk and all those good guys. So I don't hate it. It's definitely a guy you can draft like the absolute last pick of your draft and maybe steal some points from it. If you're in a salary cap league, I mean, $1 million is pretty good for a guy who probably plays top line. So definitely a big fan of that.
Right. It's just a small one that I wanted to mention there. You're probably not going to draft him. I mean, no. We do 15 rounds or 18 rounds or something like that in our league of record, and probably last pick would be where fall.
Yeah, like we're talking 180th. So it's possible. It's not going to kill your draft, but he definitely has offensive upside, obviously. So, and the Senators are going to play anyone because that team is so brutal. So,
yeah, that's right. Trouba went over to the Rangers for Poink.
Yeah.
And a first round.
Yeah, I love this only because of what happened later. Obviously, if you haven't heard of, the Rangers bought Shattenkirk out. So Trouba is now the GOAT. He is the man. Later, we will talk about a massive Rangers signing. Obviously, it was Panarin, but we can get to that when it gets to that. But I'm saying, like, having Panarin on that, this means Trouba gets to be top power play unit. He had 50 points last year, not really getting tons of power play time. Bufflin takes that on the Jets. It's going to be sink or swim. Like, this is where he is truly the guy. He's the number one defenseman on this team. He's going to get all the minutes, 24 minutes a game. I like him a lot. So I hope he can, you know, keep it together kind of thing and just do well for the league. I really want Trouba this year.
And How high does that move him up your rankings of defense? So let's say he was maybe 10 last year, like around that 10 to 15 mark.
He's definitely top 10 for sure. I have to look at some other players, but I mean, any team with Panarin is ridiculous. So I have to say that he's going to be way up there. He hits a lot, shoots a lot. I think he's finally going to get the minutes. So I think he's going to be a really, really, really great defenseman to have. And he might be a little underlooked this year. I'm sure he's going to be drafted, but I think he's going to outperform a lot of people's things. So I'm really excited for Trouba to be on the Rangers. I think he's going to get a lot of points.
Let's say like sixth overall. Do you think he can end up at six by the end of the year?
Absolutely, for sure. I think
so. Carlson, Burns, Hedman, Gio, Seth Jones.
Yeah,
other Carlson, and then maybe Trouba in there?
Yeah, I think so. I think he could finish top 10 for sure. So we'll have to go for around there, but there obviously are a lot of talented defensemen, but I think he's going to get like 60 points. He's going to be part of that entire offense. The cool thing about the Rangers is that they're in a rebuild, in air quotations, that they've been moving up. So it's not like it's a total stress situation where he has to be like back checking and the Jets were all win now, their window's closing all the time
right.
Stuff. So.
Yeah, exactly.
And so he's young.
They got Keiko or Kako.
Yeah, Keiko Kapo or whatever, Kapo Keiko.
Yeah.
No, that team, they have they're getting a lot of firepower. I think they're going to be awesome in a few years. And I think this year they're going to score a lot of goals, and I don't know how many games they're going to win or whatever. But Trouba, he's the guy. He's going to be the quarterback. He's going to do it all. So I'm definitely going to be looking for him this year. I'm not too sure where yet, but I think he's definitely going to outperform a lot of other defensemen that will get drafted before him.
Yeah, I think mid sixth or seventh, I'd be happy picking a Trouba. You know what? Side note here, the Trouba and Panarin signings, you know what that does to me for the Rangers?
What?
That shoots Lundqvist way up my board.
It does.
Like, Lundqvist is someone that I'm very interested in this year as a late round goalie pickup that I don't have to pay anything for. I'm going to get him in the 10th round and he could give me top five reward.
It's funny. I do thought about that, but I was just wondering how much Georgiev is going to steal. That's the only thing I was worried about. Because it's funny you mentioned that. I was thinking the exact opposite. I was like, oh man, I'm going to last pick Georgiev and get 30 wins out of him. So if we know who the starter is, then definitely. It's definitely someone
Lundqvist. Like, they're not going to move away from Lundqvist unless they're doing a full rebuild.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering, because it's funny. I was thinking the same thing. I was like, this is a goalie that is going to be a sweet, sweet last pick goalie that will get you like 30 wins. So Yeah, it's definitely, it's Lundqvist or the other guy, or they do a 50-50 chop. I'm not 100% sure, but this team is definitely getting better for sure.
You pick Georgiev and I'll pick Lundqvist and we'll see who gets the starts. I don't know if that bet's very fair.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. But he is the future, so I think he's good if you're in some sort of dynasty league or something. I don't know how many years Lundqvist has left on his contract or how much more he wants to play. But I'm sure he'll stick it out for another few years at least anyway. So
yeah, Lundqvist will be there for a little bit. They want to still give him an honest shot, and this might be their best shot they've had in 5 years, right?
That's what I was thinking. I was like, yeah, maybe not this year, but like next year they could actually start maybe making some serious damage for the playoffs. So again,
it's like an 80-point guy. If he comes in and does what Pettersson did for Vancouver, like they could be skyrocketing.
Yeah, no, I agree. And if Truba like is as advertised and just smashes everyone, plays 82 games, gets all these points, I mean, I like the Rangers a lot this year. I'm a big fan of them. I think they're going to be a lot more dangerous than most people think. So, and
time for Truba to put up or shut up. No more arbitration hearings with Winnipeg.
Yeah, he can't be holding out, being in the locker room. Now it's you got whatever 8-year contract or something. Like, that's it. You're done. Like, it's time to, you know, exactly, show you're worth these first round draft picks and all this money. So, I'm excited. I would be surprised if I don't have Truba on my team unless someone totally outreaches me. But I really want this guy next year. I think he's going to definitely kick some serious butt.
Yeah, I think he's great. A couple other little signings. Ryan Miller back with the Ducks for a year, just giving Gibson a little more backup. Alex Edler signed with the Canucks. That was kind of something that was up in the air for a while. He just signed a 2-year. He'll probably be done after that 2-year because he'll want to go to a contender, and the Canucks are still doing their rebuild. Who's up next? Subban went to the Devils.
Yes. Odd trade. Steven Santini, Jeremy Davies, and 2 seconds. This trade may seem odd, but if you find out later what the Predators do with the cap space, it makes sense.
Yep.
But we'll talk about the Subban aspects. I think this increases Subban's value. You may ask me, oh, that's weird, Jesse. You're just going to the Devils from the Predators. Subban is now going to be the only defenseman there. That's the thing. Like, they have
one power play for sure.
Yeah, and that team is kind of getting stacked. They're going to have Jack Hughes, a full season of Taylor Hall, Hersher, all these guys. They picked up, like, I think he's going to get a lot of points. I think he's going to really do well. With Nashville, it's tough because he had to fight with Josi for stealing all this time. He had to fight with Ellis, Ekholm. It was so much he had to do. So on the Devils, his competition is like, oh, I can't even remember that guy's name. There's like Severson, and then there's that other guy.
Andy Green and my boy Vatanen.
Vatanen, yeah. That's what, Sammy Vatanen, the guy from the Ducks, yeah. Yep. So no competition for the first, obviously. He's going to get all the minutes first pairing. He's going to have easy power play assignments, just one-timing it or passing it to Hall. So, he's going to have a great bounce-back season. So, again, he's a guy that's going to be looked at late because of how terrible he did last year. I took him for my last half of the year, and he did, like, 9 points in 40 games or something. So, he can't be worse. So
It can't be worse. That's the truth.
I'm on the Subban train this year because the Devils are super young. They score lots. They're fast. And, I think him and, like, Butcher, they're going to be good. So I like it a lot.
If Taylor Hall stays healthy, I think Devils make the playoffs. Sorry,
absolutely.
Taylor Hall and Schneider. If Schneider can stay healthy, then they'll make the playoffs.
Yeah, I think they will for sure. Again, it just literally depends on Taylor Hall's health. But their team got better everywhere. Getting the Subban is better. Jack Hughes is amazing. Another year of Hersher, Palmieri. These guys are still good players. So
they picked up Simmons too, remember?
Yeah, Simmons, right. So we'll have to get to that later. They're totally, like, I think that guy's going to win GM of the year, to be honest. So you can book that.
If they make the playoffs, then he very well could be.
Yeah, I think Shiro, I think he wins GM of the year. So I think he's done the most to improve his team.
You get Jack Hughes, and then you also sign one of the top defensemen on the market. in the same offseason. You get the first pick and that. So, like,
yeah, I mean, it wasn't even like he was on the market. You just like, yeah. Hey, you want Subban? We need to do a cap dump so we can sign a guy. It's like, yeah, sure. Who you want? Some second round picks? Yeah, great. Like, yeah. We'll take his $9 million a year contract. No problem. Like, of course. Well, we got space. We got this future team we're trying to build. So, yeah,
I think Subban's good for 60.
Yeah, I think so too. I think high 50s, 60 would be the absolute ceiling.
He's playing on Taylor Hall, Jack Hughes, Will Butcher, Wayne Simmons power play.
Exactly, right?
So that's pretty, like, they got to get goals. They got to get goals.
Yeah, nope, I agree. I think he's going to take tons of shots, hit lots. He's going to be able to be himself again, hopefully, and just feel it. So I definitely am looking to get Subban this year. He's definitely going to be available way later than he usually is. So don't be afraid to draft him because you can definitely get the value out of this guy.
Subban, unlike Trouba, Subban is not someone I'm going to reach for, though.
No.
Like, Trouba, I'm really excited about. I think that he could exceed expectations. Subban, I kind of know what he's going to do. I think he's going to be the 60-point to 70-point guy, and that's probably about as high as he's going to get.
No, I agree. Like, I really think 60 is probably, like, that's a great season, so I think that's probably what we're going to expect out of him. Trouba, he's still young, low 20s. He's never had an opportunity to be, like, obviously the guy. So, yeah, if I had to ask, I'd rather have Trouba than Subban. But you can definitely get good value out of Subban for this year.
Yeah, I guess it comes down to your roster construction. Do you want those 60 points, or do you want, like, someone to put you over the top to because you're falling behind in other categories or something like that?
Yeah, and if you're building dynasty teams, obviously – Trouba's like 21 or something, 22. Subban's been around forever kind of thing. So definitely, guys, you can decide what you want to do with.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on to the Leafs traded Patrick Marleau to the Hurricanes. Is that interesting at all?
I mean, it's good. It opens up for a trade later they do. They had to pay a first-round pick, which I guess is the cost of moving awful contracts. Funny thing about this trade is Marleau just basically said that he doesn't want to play for the Hurricanes, so he's gonna be waiting to move to hopefully the Sharks and then retire. I think it's his plan, but as it is right now, it sounds like he doesn't want to report there, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, he's not even on the Carolina depth chart at all.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if they've already got rid of him or if they released him or put him on waivers. I don't really know what happened with him, to be honest, but all I know is that he does not want to play for them, and he really wants to go back to the Sharks. So we'll see if that's part of what the Sharks' plan is, if they want to bring him back for $1 million a year kind of thing, like the league minimum. So we'll see.
Yeah, probably he's kind of past his prime. I don't think I'm going to be looking for Marleau at all.
No, there's no chance anyone hopefully should be looking at Marleau for anything. So,
okay, this was my favorite deal of the offseason. Because I'm a Vancouver fan, and this seems to be the only thing that we did. We took JT Miller from Tampa and Mazanik. He's a goalie. He played a couple games for Tampa and looked good. He didn't look bad. I like JT Miller. I think he's a young player that can grow with the Canucks organization. I will take a last round pick on him. Right now they have him on the first line because Barchi was so sketchy last year with his health.
Right.
So it's JT Miller, Elias Pettersson, and Boeser.
That's an insane line.
Right? So how could you not want a piece of JT Miller?
No, I agree. I think he's going to be... He's a great glue guy. He's a great player. Everything you hear about him is very positive. Obviously, he didn't click on the Lightning very well. It just didn't work for him. They have too many forwards on that team. The Lightning got some cap relief and picked up a couple picks back, which is good for them. But yeah, I mean, if he stays on that top line, that is insane. I mean, Boeser and Pettersson are like the two best wingers you could ever ask for. Like, Pettersson's a setup man, deke master. Boeser can finish. So it's like lots of points to be had there.
So what do you think for his projection? Let's just say, when I kind of do my projections, I say that everyone's going to play 82, right? I'm just going to say full healthy season, he's going to get X. What do we think for JT Miller full healthy season?
if he plays full 82 and he stays on that line, I think he can get like 65 points. I don't know what his power play usage is like, but I would say around there. It just depends. I don't know what the coaches are going to do. A lot of coaches bounce this guy to the fourth line. I don't know if that was just a Lightning thing.
So, yeah, I don't know what it is. Maybe he has bad work ethic or something like that. Yeah, like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's what scares me about this guy, because you're like, oh, he's starting off the season with Kucherov and Stamkos. You're like, all right, perfect.
Hey, and I bought into that. You remember me drafting him.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, everyone drafted him because he, like, that's what else do you want, right? And then at the end of the year, he's playing on the fourth line with, like, Paquette and stuff, and you're like, oh, great, thanks. So the good news is I don't think the Canucks are that deep enough that they can just move Miller down. So right. I think he'll definitely stay within the top six for sure. Hopefully he gets power play time. But, yeah, I think 60 points, 65 points is fine. Yeah, it just depends if Boster can stay healthy and all that kind of good stuff. So, and if he clicks, but
so if he could eat 65 points. You would be calling for a career year, because his highest was 56.
Yeah, that's the funny thing about Miller is like, oh, I want to be like, he's going to get 70 points, but he hasn't broken 60 yet, right? So I'm like, I want to temper it a bit. But I mean, Pedersen should get 80 plus points again. If Boser can stay alive, he'll get 70 points. So yeah, I definitely think he's worth drafting. He's going to have a great line, so I'm excited for him.
I think he gets up to 60 points. Something that's really good about JT Miller is when he had his 56 point season, it was 130 shots. So he's capable of peppering the net. Mm-hmm. He just needs some luck and some good. I think he gets up to about 60. Let's just say 60 to be safe.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Is yeah, 60's fine with me.
Okay, we've talked too much about JT Miller. Let's move on. He's not even super fantasy relevant, but I mean, it's someone that I wanted to talk about.
He's a top line center on a team, so that's relevant.
Yeah. The Golden Knights signed William Karlsson to that big 8-year, $47 million extension. They gave him the one last year. Or did they do the one last year? I don't remember now.
They gave him a bridge last year. Yeah. I don't know if it was a 2-year or just the 1-year. Or maybe so, he still had 2-year. I don't know what it was. But obviously they extended him.
They liked what they saw.
Is that this is a pretty cheap contract. So. Yeah. Obviously, he didn't score 43 goals last year, like most of us predicted, saying that he would definitely regress. But that line is still super dominant. Him, Marchessault, and Riley Smith, they look amazing in the playoffs. I think this is a huge steal for the Golden Knights.
Yep.
Fantasy-wise, I think he's still a high 60-point player. I think that's it. I don't think he gets back to 43 goals. I think that's basically it for him. So I like Marchessault more than I like Karlsson. If you had to pick a player, but
yep.
This is great for the Knights because, yeah, like I said, it's a super deal for them. So, but yeah, definitely you can draft him around. I'd say 67 points is my guess for Karlsson, maybe a little less. That's my guess. Yeah, I don't know. What about you think?
His big year was that 78 year with the 43 goals.
Yeah.
I think he could get 35 goals, 35 and 35.
Yeah, I agree for sure.
And you got to remember, with that Vegas line, it's William Karlsson, Marchessault, and then Mark Stone, the new addition.
Mm-hmm.
That's that Stone top line in Vegas now, right? So he didn't have a full year with Stone. He had a couple months with Stone to try to get chemistry back. But now they have a full year, full training camp.
I think. Yeah, if Stone takes Smith's spot, then for sure I can pop those numbers up. I mean, Stone is out of control. He has so many takeaways per year. I mean, that's so many extra offensive opportunities for this guy. Stone is an elite power play. So, yeah, in my brain, I'm thinking, yeah, that's with Riley Smith. But if you give him Stone, he could easily get 75 points. I don't think 40 of them are going to be goals. But I think he can definitely have another massive year if he plays with Stone, because that's just how good that guy is.
Actually, yeah, you know what? I'm bumping him up, too. I'm bumping him up to 70.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm going to say with Stone there, he gets 70. They have, on that right wing, Stone, Alex Tuch, and then Riley Smith is third line right now.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, Stone could elevate him crazy. You saw what he did with, like, Duchesne and stuff in Ottawa. What can he do with a real skill guy? Yeah, I was going to
say, Hoffman, all those guys, they got so many points off of Stone. So, yeah, for sure. I totally forgot. I thought Stone didn't play on his line, but if they move him up to the top right wing, which they should anyway.
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
I think he's definitely in line for a bigger season, I agree.
Yeah, that's... Karlsson might be a guy that I reach on now that I'm looking at it.
Yeah, I was looking at, like, definitely has a low salary. He's good salary cap draft guy. So, yeah, I think he's definitely going to do better than he did last year. So, yeah, the stone factor is just too big.
Yeah, that is true. Okay, let's keep moving on. Should we talk about Soderberg to the Coyotes?
We can briefly touch on it, and that should be enough. No,
that's enough time on him.
I think it's an irrelevant move. It obviously makes the Coyotes better, but I don't think he is draftable at all. I can't even pretend to make up hype for this trade. It makes the Coyotes a better team, but there's nothing fantasy wise.
This was a sad day, June 26th. This is when Luongo retired.
Yes, he retired, which opened up the door for a later thing we will talk about. It is tragic, Luongo. I know he'd probably be one of your favorite goalies, but even me, not a big Canucks fan, I still love the guy. He's a class act, represented Canada tons of times, got the gold medal.
If you follow his Twitter at all, you know he's an awesome dude.
Yeah, he's hilarious. He takes things in stride. He makes fun of himself. I really hope he gets into broadcasting. I think that's totally his wheelhouse. And I hope I get to see this guy in the future because and even last year he played great. It's just his knee is destroyed. I mean, the guy, he put it in. I wish he would have got the cup. Obviously, that would have been the dream. I still think he's going to be a Hall of Famer. And yeah, I think the NHL is less cool without him. It's kind of tragic. So
He played so many games too. Like
I know, yeah.
Seasons after seasons of like backstopping the terrible Florida Panthers when he was taking like 60 shots a night.
him and Reimer just grinding it out.
Yeah, so. Poor guys.
But no, yeah. Obviously, I don't think anyone has anything mean to say about Luongo. He's definitely that kind of guy. So it just sucks, man. You get older. Like we're in our 30s now, and our players are retiring. We have no one cool anymore. Like it's just the people you
enjoy the golf course, Luongo.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm sure we'll see him somewhere again. So I hope he does. But yeah, shout out to him. So definitely opens up space in the crease for the Panthers, which we'll get to later.
Oh, here it is. Hurricanes buyout, Patrick Marleau. So they actually used one of their buyouts on Marleau.
Okay, that makes more sense. I thought it was waivers, but they just bought him. Okay, cool.
Yep. And then, so Leafs signed Kapanen and Johnson, 3-year, 4-year deals. Everyone's kind of wondering what's going to happen with Marner. So those were interesting deals to come out right now because everyone was talking about them that they needed to get him signed. They're bottom six guys that they just need for depth. They play big roles in the Leafs organization for speed and stuff like that. So good signing for them. Obviously, fantasy, you can stream them every once in a while if you see Toronto has a good matchup. That's pretty much all I would do. Any interest for you?
No, not really. Johnson is really, really talented. He's a good player. But again, the Leafs are just too stacked on the lines. I'm not sure who's playing with who. I'd have to see where they're starting at the beginning of the year kind of thing. The good news for the Leafs is that they're cheap contracts. They're all under like $3 million a year. So that obviously was trying to give them space for Marner. So we'll have to just wait on that kind of thing.
To see what happens there.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you like Burakovsky going to Avalanche?
No, because I liked him on the Capitals. I do think it's great for the Avalanche. They needed forward depth, as you saw in the playoffs.
Yep.
If the McKinnon line didn't score, they lost. And so I think he's going to be great in the top six. He never reached his potential. They didn't play him, or they picked Jacob Varana over him, which I think was the better choice anyway. So,
as a pick? I don't think I would draft him, but...
No, I got nothing on him. I mean, he's going to play with Kadri, which I guess is cool. There might be something there, but again, we're talking deep for me. So, my answer
is second unit power play, but that's not enough for me to pull the trigger on a guy like that.
No, my answer is no. I think he's going to be good in secondary scoring, but I'd be surprised if he breaks 50 points. So I'd have no interest in him.
Yeah. Stars bio Nichushkin.
Yeah, and that's then, finally done.
Yeah, he that's needed staggered. to be out of there.
Enough is enough.
And then we got the Phil Kessel going to the Coyotes for Alex Galchenyuk. this trade is my heaven. I love Galchenyuk. I've drafted him numerous years in a row, waiting for him to get land in a good spot, and I feel like he has. Going this to Pittsburgh, obviously.
I mean, it's the best spot you can ask for. You play with Malkin or Kessel, Malkin or Crosby. So what other center do you want? This is literally, he has to prove it. I think he's on a contract here right now, or close to it.
Yeah,
so,
he should be close.
Yeah, so he's got to definitely show up. If you can't play well with Malkin or Crosby, I think that's just it. The writing on the wall is for Galchenyuk. He just is not good, I guess. But if there ever was a time to draft the guy, this is now. You can definitely extract some value out of him.
Hey, I've drafted him on Montreal for like 2 years. Last year on the Coyotes for 1 year.
Yeah, it can't be worse, man. Exactly.
Now I'm not going to get him on Pittsburgh. Someone else is going to draft him.
The 1 year, yeah, finally gets 70 points.
Yeah.
On the flip side, Kessel value obviously goes down. He was a perennial like 90-point guy, felt like, on that team.
Hold on. You think it goes down?
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to get 90 points. I think he gets like 70, 75 points still. But
I don't thinking of like the old Phoenix Coyotes, because this is the Arizona Coyotes.
I still and think so.
They're coming up.
Oh, I agree. They're getting better. I mean, Keller and whatever else is still on that
Derek
team.
Eric Stepan, Nick Schmaltz. They got Grabner chiseling in goals.
Good God. Yeah, I think Kessel is still good, but I think he's a 70, 75-point guy. He'll play 82 games, which is amazing about Kessel and why I love drafting him, because you never stress about Kessel on your lineup.
Yeah.
It's the most safest, boringest draft you can ever make. So, but you're his points will definitely take a hit.
Someone's going to draft Kessel in the fifth or fourth round, and they're going to be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, I would definitely target him then. Like I said, I mean, he's free points, and it's like you're never going to make a mistake by drafting him. So I just don't.
82 last year. Didn't even break 30 goals.
Yeah, because and then the year before, he had like the 90 points. So, I think it's like 72, 73 points is my guess. He's going to play every minute of the power play. Hopefully he finds some chemistry with one of the centermen, maybe Keller or something. And he's going to be kind of like a mentor there. So I don't know. This is great for Kessel because he hates the media. He already won his cups. Like, who cares? He can just go there and play his game and not have to worry about people talking about him. So I think he's going to have a very low stress, fun season for him. So, I mean, to waive your no trade clause to go to Arizona, I mean, you got to want to go there. So,
and Arizona did good last year. Right, like people are starting to see that they're a team that is not going to be pushed around. They got some goalies, they got some good defense. I mean, I think this is the signing that they needed. They needed the star power to draw in a little bit of crowd, so that when it comes to the offseason this year, they say, "Hey, we got Phil Kessel. We did good last year. We made the playoffs. Anyone else want to come join us?"
Yeah, no, totally. It definitely gives you appeal.
Right, that's what Avalanche did. Oh, we got McKinnon. Anyone want to come? All of a sudden, Kadri, Burkowski, like some other guys are starting to jump over and be like, yeah, I'll play for Avalanche now. They're looking good.
Yeah, totally.
I think that's going to happen to Arizona soon here. But I like both of them. Galchenyuk, I'll take 10 or between 10 and 12 round. And then Kessel, I'll take 5 to 8. I would love him that range.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's around there. I just hope people don't think he's going to blow up for 80. As long as I just think mid-70s is what I'm going to cap him as, which is still, hey, nothing wrong with that.
Right, right.
Lots of them are going to be power play points, so that'll definitely help them out.
Interesting trade here. Well, not a trade. Assigning Zuccarello with the Wild on a 5-year $30 million. What do you think about Zuccarello on the Wild? He's kind of like a fringe guy that I like to draft because he's sneaky. He's a sneaky 65-point guy.
Yeah, I'm going to go on record and say I'm not going to draft a single Wild player.
You wouldn't take Zucker in the 12th round?
I mean, no, I'd find someone else. I don't care.
Okay,
I think
you wouldn't take Dumba. Give me Dumba or Spurgeon.
Dumba has some value, but I just don't like the way the Wild is heading, man. They're just... Yeah. They're so out of it. I used to want like Dubnyk every year and his team was cool. But once they got rid of Granlund and some of these guys are just not as good. Yeah, I don't want any part of Zuccarello. I'm sure he'll get 60 points or something, but I have no interest in that. So I just don't think the Wild are that good of a team.
Yeah, the only one I'm probably going with the Wild is Dumba, just because he started off so good last year.
Yeah, it's Dumba or Dubnyk if you need a goalie. They'll still win games and be competitive, but I don't think no one's going to blow your mind on this team to be worth anything. So.
Yeah, I don't know,
yeah, good for the Wild. Yeah, good for the Wild. They got a, you know, depth signing. I don't know. Zuccarello's kind of old, which is weird. He's like 32 or something. I don't know. So giving a guy like 5 years is kind of crazy. But I don't know. Free agent pricing, I guess. What can you do?
Yeah, you gotta pay for guys you want, I guess.
Yeah.
Some interesting trades or signs here. So Corey Perry got bought out by the Ducks.
Yes.
He said it was a really hard time for him, but then he signed the 1 year, 1.5 with the Stars.
Yep.
Before we get to Pavelski, is there any interest in Corey Perry as a Star?
No. I think he returns to a 20 goal, 20 assist player. That's it.
Oh.
So I think he'll be good on a second unit power play. I think he'll get some goals again and have some new life and edge on his shoulder, but I don't think he's going to get more than 40, 45 points. So to me, he might as well not exist in the entire league. So I'm writing him off. Except, like, I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I'm on board with that. He's not listed in any power play units right now.
Yeah, then there you go. Yeah, so.
And their right wing is now Pavelski, Radulov, Corey Perry.
Yeah, that's you're not topping those other two guys. So
I don't think so. Yeah, I think he's buried. I think that's a Corey Perry death watch.
Yeah,
like, I think that's the end of me ever looking at him again in fantasy.
Yeah, I think he'll sign a one. Well, sorry, he signed the 1 year, so we'll have to see. Maybe he doesn't. If his knee holds up and he plays 82 games, maybe he'll come back. But I think if he gets injured again, I think we're going to see him hang it up.
Yeah,
he's just
it's
not.
It's funny that I say that this year is like the first year I'm not going to look at Corey Perry, but people on the listening to the podcast are like, I haven't looked at him in like 5 years. Like, let's be honest, he's been gone for a while now.
Yeah, he's lost a lot of steps. So I was never a big Corey Perry fan, kind of a dirty guy. So I won't miss him. But it was cool to watch back in the old Duck Dynasty. Him and Getzlaff were pretty cool. So
yeah, and he was the scorer, right? Those are the kind of guys you want, the 40-goal guys.
Yeah, and he was good on Team Canada's and stuff like that. So I definitely appreciated what he did, but I was never a big fan. But on the Stars, I think he's going to do absolutely jack. So don't get excited thinking he's going to play with Sagan or Ben or something and have a career comeback. Like, it's not going to happen.
Do you know someone that is playing with Sagan and Ben?
See, now this guy.
This would be Joe Pavelski.
Yes.
He signed a really big, it's a small deal, 3 year, 21, so $7 million a year.
Yeah.
This has me, like, I'm using all of my fantasy brain to figure out where to draft Joe Pavelski, and I cannot figure it out.
Well, what is he going to play? Are they making him a center?
The right wing. He's playing with Sagan and Ben.
Okay, well, I mean, if for some reason he stays on that line, then that's amazing, because Pavelski can do it all. He's the best tipper in the league. He's, like, just an out-of-control player. I think this year he'll be great, but I think in maybe year two, year three of this contract, he's going to start slowing down. I love Pavelski this year. I think he's going to play top power play unit because he's way too talented to not be on that. The Stars keep getting better. They have great defense. Bishop had a Vezina caliber year, so I love Pavelski. I think I'm going to try to get him this year, and he's going to fall a bit. I think he'll get 75 points again, 40 goals, 35 assists, so I want him for sure.
I like the 75-point projection. I just don't know where to take him. So, like, Sagan's going to get drafted first two, right?
Yeah.
Ben had a really awful year, so he's going to fall to after five.
Yeah.
And then, so where does Pavelski fit in that? If he was on the Sharks... Same
time. Yeah.
Like, if he's on the Sharks right now, I'd draft him in the fourth to third round.
Yeah, because he was good for 80 points for sure, yeah.
So where can I pick him up? Like, I have so much trouble thinking where Pavelski's going. He's my biggest headache this year.
Yeah, to me, end of the fourth and beyond, I think, is fine for Pavelski. Maybe fifth would be the latest, I think. You could start looking at him, but I think he's just going to be, I think he's going to be just fine. I think he's going to click. I would love to see Pavelski on my team. If I can get him around the fifth round, that'd be super exciting. I'd even reach at the end of the fourth.
I think right there is where you're going to have to pay for him.
Yeah.
Cause like that line, even with like Klingberg and stuff on the back end, like they're going to be getting goals on the power play for sure.
No, for sure. That the Stars are a great team. They basically almost upset the Blues, who won the cup. So it's not like this team, and they only got better. Like you add Pavelski, a guy who's a proven playoff performer, scorer. I mean, they're going to do some serious damage next year in the playoffs. I think it's going to be fantastic. I don't know. I'm excited for him. So
can Bishop stay healthy to carry this team? I don't know.
Hopefully.
That's the main question, right? Is if they have good goaltending, then they'll go far. If they don't, then might as well write them off another year.
Yeah, agreed.
Another year where their team looks great on paper and can't perform.
Yeah, they're definitely the Florida Panthers of the West. They just, you look at their roster,
exactly. And
you're like, damn, son, they're going to crush. And then, yeah, it never goes that way. But I think this team is trending up, and I wouldn't be surprised if they do some serious damage in the West this year and finish like in the top of their division kind of thing. So Pavelski is that good, and I think that's a huge, huge addition. The Stars are going to be so dangerous this year.
Yeah, they will. So when Pavelski left, that made lots of room for Timo Meier to get signed by the Sharks for a 4-year. Someone that won you leagues if you had him on your team last year, because he came out of nowhere and did very, very well.
And he's only going to do better. I mean, the more holes, more space for him. These guys, yeah, they're like no names, him, LeBlanc, what's the other guy? I forget his name. Couture, all those other guys on that team are going to be let free reign. And Timo, obviously the Sharks want to go with that youth movement, so this is what it's going to be. And
yeah, I think he got 30 goals last year and beat Pavelski by 2 points on the whole year.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not like that.
No, I love him, man. I want all these young Sharks on my team. I think they're just going to just have so much space to just do what they want to do. And when you have guys like Carlson and Burns at the back, just it's going to be disgusting. So I think the Sharks are going to be a great team.
Okay,
and yeah, I like the Timo signing.
Yeah, I like the signing for them too. Let's move on to some interesting ones here. We'll talk about the Panarin, the 7-year, $81 million contract for the Rangers. We talked a little bit about Panarin before. He is going to be crazy value. I would be okay if you took him in the first round, the back of the first round. Is that crazy to say?
Nope. I like him there. End of the first, second round.
Is he worth that, or am I just really high on him?
I think he's going to get 85 points again, 85, probably 90. If he just, I don't know how much better the Rangers are than Columbus. I'm trying to think how much better
the Jad.
Yeah, so it's not like, it's kind of a side, like switch, like Dubois for Zibanejad. So I still think, but he's still that good. He'll get all the power play time. He's one of my favorite players in the NHL. So I want him no matter where he is. I don't care. I've had him like 3 years in a row. So he's going to get 85
points. 3 years in a row? You keep drafting him?
Yeah, so he'll get 85 points no matter what team he's on. So I think he's going to obviously have a great year. And obviously he wants to be at the Rangers because this is the first time he signed a contract he wants to go, because he was traded to Columbus. So it wasn't like it was his choice. And then as soon as he could, he left. So he finally he was courted by, I'm sure, every single team in the league wanted this guy. So,
well, he almost had 90 points last year. He had 87.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So like I'm saying, and I was on just playing around. So I think he can easily get 90, 95 points on a team he wants to be with, and they're going to build around this guy. So, end of the first, second, absolute minimum for me. Panarin is an absolute beast. Nothing more I can say about this guy. He's one of the best players and fun players to watch.
Yeah, he rocketed up my draft board. This trade also puts Zibanejad up higher in my list as well.
Yeah, I agree. He's definitely.
Do you know what he got last year for points? I'm looking at it right now, but I wanted to test you.
I'm not too sure. Zibanejad was my stealth draft this year. I was going to take him mid because I think he's going to have just a massive infusion of points playing with Panarin. I think he had like 70 points. I don't know. I don't remember. He was injured a bit.
74.
74, yeah. So he still had 74 points on a team that had no Panarin. So
right.
Pretty sure he can add at least 10 minimum, and that's me being very, very low-ball-y. So I wouldn't be surprised if Zibanejad and Panarin, you could have 85-point Zibanejad and, like, 95-point Panarin. Like, these guys are going to be so good this year.
Yeah, and if you look at the range here, it's 74, so Jonathan Toews had 81 this year, 81 points. Elias Lindholm had 78 points. So if you're telling me that putting Panarin with this guy can't get him above those guys, and it has to. It has to happen. He's going to be worth 85 points, is what I'm going to say.
Yeah, I agree. That's what I was saying around. Same thing. Like, he's the number one center on the team, and he got arguably one of the top 10 players in the entire NHL to play with him.
Yeah.
Maybe even a top three winger in the entire league. It's the dream scenario. It's like, hey, yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I could talk about this forever, but this is a huge, 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 huge thing. I think Panarin's going to have a career year, and Zibanejad will definitely follow.
Here's an interesting thing I'm just looking at. Those 80-point guys, Phil Kessel had 82, Pasternak had 81, and Toews had 81.
Yeah, yeah.
Pasternak played 20 less games than those other two.
I know. I was hoping you were going to mention that. I was like, didn't Pasternak play like 60 games?
So 66 games.
Yeah.
Wow.
That just shows you how amazing that guy is. It's unreal.
Pasternak could have a 100-point season. Jeez Louise.
82 games, easy. My boy Bergeron had like 79 or something, 70 points in 50 games or something. Like, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, 65 for 79 points.
That's 79 crazy. Points. Yeah.
Pasternak's going to be insane value this year. I think Pasternak's going in the first round too this year if he's going to get 100 points.
I think so. Also, we're trending towards a salary cap league. I don't know if we mentioned that. So Pasternak has one of the best contracts in the entire NHL for points. So he's definitely a guy I was looking at to take almost even in the top four picks just because it's a 100-point guy that's getting paid like $6 million a year. So definitely something to think about for him on that. But yeah, I mean...
Yeah, we'll talk about those guys when we do the conference breakdowns or stuff.
Yeah, let's move on to the next big signing.
Matt Duchene, 7-year, $56 million contract with the Predators.
So
they needed a forward.
So this is why they got rid of Subban. They needed that space. The Predators look great, and then they can't score in the playoffs, and it's the same old every year. So Duchene had an amazing year with Columbus. I think he's going to fit in great. The Predators needed anyone that could score. Anyone. You can't just keep relying on like, the Arvidsson and Johansson's. And I think this is good because you can actually make Johansson a second-line center, which is where he belongs to be. I don't think he's a first-line center.
They're actually keeping him first.
Yeah, to me, that's a mistake. But we'll see. Maybe they play them 1A, 1B. I don't know.
Yeah,
but
obviously, it's not even preseason yet, so things can change. But
yeah.
Out of all the players that we've talked about thus far, I think Duchene is my... I'm not excited about Duchene at all.
I won't have him on my team.
No, I won't have him on my team. I think forwards go to Nashville to die.
I mean, I've drafted Philip Forsberg, I think like 6 years in a row, expecting him to finally get like, you know, 90 points like he can do. And they don't. They're 60-point players, man. The Predators just don't score. Their forwards don't score. So
I'm super scared about Duchene now.
Yeah, I have no interest in Duchene. Don't get me wrong. I'm sure he'll do great and maybe get 70 points maybe or something, 60, 70 points. But someone else will take him before me, and that's fine. I have no drafter's regret on that.
Yeah, I'm not going to – unless he's like crazy value in the 9th round or 8th round or something like that.
Something totally absurd, exactly,
Someone that I do want, Bobrovsky, 7-year, went to the Panthers. This is crazy, crazy good for the Panthers because we've said for so long how they look so good on paper, just didn't have a goalie, didn't have the right pieces. Bobrovsky is going to win the Vezina every year he's in the league, and now he has an insane cast in front of him. Bobrovsky goes up to my third goalie. I got Vasilevskiy. Frederik Andersen and Bobrovsky are tied for me.
Yeah, it's so close. For me, Vasilevskiy, Bobrovsky. Bobrovsky has no backup. They got rid of Reimer. Obviously, Luongo retired. There's nothing there. Bobrovsky's playing 65, 66 games. He's going to win 40 of them for sure. Yeah. And, yeah, I think he should be the number two goalie off the board. I'd rather have him than Anderson, personally, even though
like, that might be a little close in my mind. Yeah.
But they're so close, yeah. Just because I think Bobrovsky will play the more games. So, yeah, he got paid. And this is amazing for the Florida. I've been a Florida fan. We both of us have been talking how much we want this team to succeed. And finally, this is, if you can't succeed with this, then, I mean, I don't know what else to tell you. Like, your GM went and got you a Vezina goalie. So, like, that's it. You can't, no more complaints. So, I'm super excited. Massive, massive goalie signing. He's worth all the money, I'm sure. And that team is going to, yeah, he's definitely, I wouldn't be surprised if he wins the Vezina or something. Like, he's going to win
I think actually, while you were just talking about that, I did put him in front of Frederik Andersen. I got Vasilevskiy, and then I'm going straight to Bob.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I think. Yeah,
it's crazy. Here, I'm just gonna. This is just a little fun thing. I'm gonna name players. You tell me when to stop when you're not gonna draft that player. Okay.
Sure.
So Huberto, Barkov, Dadonov, Hoffman, Trocheck, Ekblad, Yandel, Vetrano.
Okay, that's it for me. I know you love Vetrano.
I know.
All those guys are draftable. Ekblad is a little fringe for me, but because I'd rather have Yandel over Ekblad. But that team, yeah, there's like seven draftable players.
And that's not even including Bob, right?
And that's not even including Ross. Yeah, exactly.
So, like, this team is so rich for fantasy. Even Vetrano being on the third line, he's getting second unit power play time. And I think that's with Ekblad, Trocheck, Bjorkstrom. I think he's fine too. Like, that's probably where I'm going to draw the line. But man, is there so many options on Florida. I love all of them.
Yeah, it's a definitely stacked team.
I think they're going to be great. And they also picked up Strahlman, right? Strahlman got bought out by Tampa, and then Panthers picked him up as a depth guy, which is a good move for them.
Yeah, no, I agree. Good, steady defenseman. Helps out the young guys, teaches Ekblad some stuff, all that kind of stuff. It'll be good.
What do you think of the goalie switch in Alberta?
This is a joke. Whatever.
The Calgary to Edmonton Oilers.
Mike Smith is so old. I don't know. The Oilers are missing the playoffs anyway. I don't care. So he's undraftable, obviously. So good to them. I don't want Talbot. I don't want Smith. I don't want either. So I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Value.
It's, well,
like he did so good on Phoenix and Arizona before. Yeah. So why can't he do that on a trash tier team kind of thing?
He's just so old, and he's going to chop with Koskinen or whatever, Koskinen. So at most, he's going to get like 40 games. So I just don't think there's any value to extract from Mike Smith. So I have no interest in that guy.
How old do you think he is?
He's got to be like 36, man.
Oh, he's 37.
Oh, see, even worse.
Like, I knew even worse. Yeah, 1 year closer to the grave.
Yeah, literally. So I have no interest in that. And the Oilers don't exactly have a defensive system for him, so I'm sure he'll get lit up a bunch.
Yeah. Okay, we'll just blitz over some of these guys. Marcus Granlund to the Oilers on a 1 year deal. You talked about him earlier.
I think that's the other Granlund. That's the Granlund that was from Vancouver.
Oh, yeah, it might be. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I like the Granlund that was on, he's on Nashville now. He's the one that was good.
Right.
Marcus never really.
Are they both Marcus?
No, I'm trying to think. I can't. Well, I'm like drawing a blank on the other guy's name.
I thought they were both. If they're both Marcus. Oh, it's just Mikhail.
Yeah, Mikhail Granlund. Yeah.
Mikhail Granlund and Marcus Granlund. So it's like super, super close.
Yeah, I know they're brothers. Yeah, Mikhail is the one that I like because he's like actually good. Marcus has had tough go of it. What else we got?
Okay, here's the best signing of the whole offseason. Jason Spezza, 1 year to the Leafs. No, you're not jumping out of your seat for that?
No, I think it's great. It gives him a faceoff winning guy, you know, good for the playoffs. I'm sure he'll chip in 40 points maybe, second unit power play. I don't know. But in no world am I drafting Spezza unless it's like a face-off league or something. I got nothing on that. No,
you wouldn't need him at all.
No.
What do you think of the Varlamov going to the Islanders?
This is such a head scratch. I don't know why you get rid of Lerner, who was a Vezina candidate and played out of his mind, to pay Varlamov the same money that he got. This is the dumbest thing ever. So, not a fan.
Unless Lerner was like, I want crazy. No, but he went to Chicago and got like the same thing he was asking for.
Yeah, he took a 1 year for $5 million there, and they paid the same to Varlamov. So it doesn't make any sense. I have no idea why they did that. It's one of the dumbest things I've seen in a long time.
I would rather have Lehner than Varlamov, I'll tell you that.
Of course, me too. Any sane person would. Like, I have no faith in Varlamov. I don't care. All this does is make Grubauer a top five goalie.
Yes, for sure. I love Grubauer going on this year.
Yeah.
What about Mrazek signing with the Hurricanes?
They had to pick a goalie, so I guess that's the one they picked. They didn't want McElhaney or whatever other guy they were using.
He could be interesting.
I think it's worth the draft because the Hurricanes are a strong team, as we've seen. They went far in the playoffs. They have a great young team, so I like it. I think it's a great. If you were going the avoid goalie strategy, you can definitely pick up Mrazek in the last round.
Yeah.
And probably be okay with it. So I don't hate it.
Yeah, I like that. I like Mrazek. I think he was the better of the two. He had more consistency anyway. My other favorite signing, Tyler Myers to the Canucks.
Yes, you guys did two moves. That is true.
Two whole moves. So 5-year, $30 million. Love it. Love the deal for Canucks. I think he's a draftable asset.
Yeah, he definitely fits in. I think Edler will still take over that top unit, but they're still going to play Myers like 20, 24, 20, 22 minutes a night. So
their second pair is Quinn Hughes and Tyler Myers.
Yeah, there you go.
Like, that's amazing. Awesome. I love it.
Yeah, that's such a good team.
Let's see what else we got going on here. I'm just kind of scrolling up past some of these other ones. Nyquist went to the Blue Jackets for 4 years.
Yeah, I don't care.
No?
Anyone on the Blue Jackets to me is dead to me now. I don't even want anyone. I don't even know if I want Seth Jones. Like, I think they lost everyone, man.
Yeah. Like, they're depleted.
They're so depleted. Like, I don't know if I want any part. I'd be surprised if I took a Blue Jacket. Maybe like
I would still take Seth Jones just because defense are hard to come by that have that upside.
Yeah, like Jones is the only. That's it. I don't even want Werenski. I just want Jones. That'd be it. One off.
Yeah. Donskoy got paid for his work at San Jose. He went to the Avalanche, though.
Yeah, more depth scoring for the Avalanche. I don't think it's going to make a difference fantasy-wise, but they needed, obviously, forwards. So, good cheap signing for them. So I'm sure he'll do okay, but obviously fantasy implications are none.
Yeah, not very much. Okay, this next trade is super, super weird, and I didn't really understand it. The Tyson Barry from the Avalanche to Toronto for Kadri and some other guys.
Yeah.
I didn't really think that Toronto needed more defense help. I felt like Riley and Gardner. I was going to say, what's the defensive liability guy's name? Gardner. Him. I thought they were okay with the defense they had. I didn't see they needed Tyson Barry to come in after Morgan Riley put up the numbers he did.
Yeah, I think they needed defensive help, but not Tyson Barry's help. That's the thing. Like,
and keep in mind, Riley, this is after they signed Muzzin, right?
Yeah, like they have Muzzin. They need more guys like that can stay at home and play defense, clear, play their own end. They don't need, like, Riley's perfect. That's fine. He'll get 60 points. He can play defense. He's an emerging star. Great. Like, what's Barry going to do? Like,
I play really the other power play
unit and just get more points too? Like, I don't know. It's a weird trade. I think the Avalanche won this trade very well. They get Kadri because they needed a second-line center. Barry's contract ends this year.
Yep.
So they're only going to get 1 year of Barry before he asks for like $8, $9 million himself.
Yeah.
And he's going to have inflated numbers playing on the stacked team. So fantasy-wise, I think Barry's a great pick for sure. He's going to have tons of opportunities just to rack up points on that team. So I definitely think he's draftable, but I just think long-term it's a really, really bizarre trade. So I definitely give the edge to the Avalanche on this one.
Yeah, I don't see, unlike the San Jose Sharks where Carlson and Burns can both feast, I don't think Morgan Riley and Tyson Barrie can feast on that. Barrie's going to be playing second unit power play anyway, right? So I don't. He's someone I really, really liked in Colorado, but I'm not going to draft because I'll look for someone else around that Tyson Barrie mark. I'd rather have Seth Jones than Tyson Barrie.
Yeah, at this point, I agree. I mean, unless he somehow plays the first unit power play, which I doubt he does, that's the only thing I'd want.
Matthews plays the point, right?
Yeah, that's what I figured, yeah. Then he's basically dead to me. He'll probably... Yeah, it sucked because he was so good because he had all those Avalanche points you could chisel. And now he's just going to have to get like 5-on-5 points or something. So I'm not interested in him as I was last year for sure. So,
and it's weird that Colorado wanted to get rid of their best defensive, like defenseman. Now they have Eric Johnson and Girard, Zadorov and Makar.
Yeah, what they did is I think they drafted so many young defensemen. Like they took that guy in the third or whatever. They took a giant guy. They have Makar who looked amazing. Yeah. Girard looks good. So I think they're fine on defense. And they obviously Tyson probably wanted like $9-10 million next year. So it was just easy for them just to cut loose on him. So
Colorado's the new Philly where they load up on forwards but don't have defense.
Yeah, apparently.
Pretty much. Anyway. Let's keep moving on. Who else do we got? Anything interesting?
Hurricanes signed the offer sheet for Aho. Nothing exciting there.
We knew they had to do that. Aho was so good this year.
Aho is a beast. It was a really dumb offer sheet. It was so low. It was embarrassing.
Do you think Aho gets drafted in the first round this year?
No, I don't think so. I think he'll be in the third, fourth round.
Oh.
I think he'll go later. I think third, fourth. But you never know. Depends when people take goalies or defense, I guess.
Right.
Might bump him down a bit.
Do you have any interest in the Furland to the Canucks? I forgot that was another one that they made.
Yeah, no, I don't really care. I think he's going to do good, but I just don't think it would be enough to me.
He's going to play with Horvat and Barchi, is what they're saying right now.
Gotcha. Yeah, the only guys I like. Yeah, I just like Boeser and Patterson on that team. That's what I want.
What about Ryan DeZingle going to the Hurricanes?
He's kind of a
later guy that could have some value on the Hurricanes.
Yeah, I think that's fine. Definitely a later pick. I'd have to
see
where he's
with Niederreiter.
Yeah, if they put him on the top six, he's definitely someone to look at. He's really talented, so I don't hate it.
I can tell by your voice you're not really excited about him.
Not 100%. I'm trying to think.
You're like,
positive.
Oh, I'll try to say something nice about him, but...
Yeah.
Binnington got that 2-year contract for $8 million, so he's for a very reasonable goalie for a starter.
Yeah, basically just wanted to sound like, prove it. You were like the most rookie wins in the NHL playoff history with the 16. I think it's great for them. He took a team-friendly contract, and they're basically saying like, yeah, if you can not a flash in the pan, then you will get paid. But till then... prove that you can win us 30 games a year and not like Jake Allen us. And so I think that's
good. Oh, Jake Allen us. Poor Jake Allen.
Hey, he's got a ring now. No tears.
I guess that's true. Yeah, that's all he wanted. What about the Lucic for James Neal trade? Whew, we're getting spicy.
Yeah, that's... I don't know. The Oilers obviously win because Neal can score goals. Neal had like the worst career year of his life. He can only play top six there, so he's either going to get Draisaitl or McDavid, probably. Will I think he's draftable? No, but I think he'll bounce back at least and get 20 goals.
He's on the right wing, so he's playing with Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and Chiasson after Chiasson re-signed.
Yeah, so like I said, like it's not a bad assignment by any means. I just don't think it's going to be anything more than 50 points for sure. That'd be the absolute max.
They're also putting him on the top power play with Draisaitl, Nuge, Klefbom, and McDavid.
See, now that's where the value is.
That could be interesting.
You got to see how that works. If he can turn that into a permanent assignment, then he's definitely someone to look at. And that's why I think he won the trade. Lucic, they're got to bury him as a third line or fourth line and just use him for checking. That's the only thing I can think they can do with him. And be like, hey, we got a big guy on our team he's going to hit. And just tell him, like, hey, Lucic, we don't need you to, like, carry us. We got first in the division last year. Like, we don't need you to come in and be our savior kind of thing. So
Yeah, they got him on the third line right now, which is probably... That's funny. One guy's using the trade on the first unit power play. The other one's burying him on the third line.
Well, that's fine. That's how bad those teams... Or, sorry, how good how good Calgary is and how bad the Oilers are.
Yeah, exactly.
They just did a one-for-one swap, and the guy went to the top line, like power play.
One man's junk is another man's treasure, I guess.
Yeah, essentially.
I think that's pretty much all the interesting ones. Let me see. Do you see any other ones on there that you want to talk about?
Not really. We could talk about Simmons. He's going for the 1 year to the Devils. I think Simmons is toast. So.
Yeah, I think he's not draftable anymore.
Yeah, he looks pretty slow and beat up. So he might get some power play points, so that's okay. Not really in love with that signing too much.
Vasilevskiy got signed, that big eight-year.
Yeah, that was good. This Gusev guy is supposed to be hype, so I'm looking at him for next year. He set, like, KHL records and points. He gets to play on the Devils, so that'd be cool. He might get some top six time. So I don't hate that guy.
What about the Shattenkirk signing with the Lightning? Shattenkirk got bought out by the Rangers. Obviously, he went to their favorite trade partner in the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah.
They've exchanged like 50 players.
Yeah, to me, this is like Shattenkirk being like, sweet, I get a chance at a ring. He's going to have crazy inflated numbers because that team is so stacked, and then he'll get another contract from another place.
Yeah.
I don't think I'll draft him, though. I still don't think it's enough. I think Hedman, that's it for me.
Sergachev, maybe.
Maybe, yeah. I don't know what they're going to use him for.
Obviously, Shattenkirk on the third pair, but the second power play? Probably, yeah, so right. This is probably his swan song kind of thing. Last hurrah.
Yeah, yeah. So I have no interest in him. So I don't... Yeah, third pairing is where he belongs, and second power play unit, yeah, that's fine. So I have no interest.
That's it. That brings us up to current day with the main ones that we went through. Good, because this podcast is a beast. We're at almost an hour and 20 minutes already.
Yeah, I was going to say, my voice is getting destroyed. Sorry, listeners. This was a brutal... I guess this is what happens when you put it off the entire summer in one episode.
Right. So, and yeah, plus, we're doing this over Skype for the first time because you're up in Edmonton now, so you're not where I am.
Yes, no longer in the studio. Hopefully
the quality is okay.
Yeah, you guys will have to let us know for sure. So go ahead and let us know your favorite off-season signings. Let us know if we missed any that you want us to talk about in the future episodes. I'll pop into the kudos. My kudos will be Stranger Things Season 3. I powered through that in the one day. Of course, fantastic show. Obviously, this is old news because everyone's seen it by now. But yeah, it was a great season. I had a lot of fun watching it. I'm excited for more of that.
It was really good, actually.
Yeah, it was really good. So other than that, just enjoying the summer, hanging out, and getting excited for football season and some hockey season. So that's basically it. Kind of a boring kudos, but that is what I got.
Oh, I like it. I like Stranger Things. Was awesome. My kudos for the summer, I guess, or the month, or whatever I want to say. I don't know if you guys, I don't know if I've said this before, but if you guys haven't, pristineauction.com, check it out. Lots of signed jerseys, signed pucks, signed pictures. And there, it's like a bidding site. So it's kind of like eBay. You can get them for dirt cheap. I just got a signed Patrick Waugh and Joe Sakic puck. They all have the certificates of authenticity and everything like that. It was $60. Is what I got that for. I thought that was a pretty good steal. Having them both sign awesome. The same puck was sweet. But yeah, check it out, because there's tons of like auctions on there all the time. They're dirt cheap. You can get football stuff, baseball stuff, whatever you want, and it's usually going for pretty cheap. You can get them $70 for a signed jersey. Like they're awesome. Have you went on there, Jesse, before?
Actually, I have not. I've never. I will check it out, though, because maybe there's some sweet Ovechkin swag I can pick up or some other players I like.
There's lots. And it's just auction stuff, yeah. So it ends up being really cheap, like much less than you'd pay on any other site or...
Yeah, absolutely.
Any other place. That's my kudos. I think we're done.
Yeah. The only other thing to look forward to is all these RFAs haven't signed yet. So Maybe when those sign, we'll have more to talk about. But as it is for now, that is all we got for you. Getting back into the groove. Like I said, hit us up if you have anything you want to talk about, questions about free agent signings, etc. And yeah, that's all I got.
We're going to jump into conference breakdowns. And I think we're just going to do each conference one episode. So the next four or something, you'll get a lot of teams in each one, but it'll help you with your drafts because those are coming up quickly. We're already starting to prepare. Check out Overtime Heroics on the web and join the forums. There's lots of talks going on about football and hockey, whatever sport you're looking at. That's where I am. That's where we're talking. And as always, you can hit us up on Twitter or Facebook at Fantasy NHL Talk. Answering all those questions. This was a mammoth podcast.
I know. I'm like exhausted. My throat is so
We just sat here and talked and we're like so tired after it. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. We will check you later and hopefully we'll see some mock drafts and we'll be posting those podcasts as well when we get invites to other ones to be guests and stuff. We'll be posting those on our podcast sites as well. So, and look forward to that in the future, and we will talk to you guys later.